Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. Another day we get to praise God for His grace, and that is especially what we're going to focus on today when we consider how humble our Savior was to die for our sins. Now, this is also Friendship Sunday, so of course that theme fits well. You and I then get to reflect Jesus' humility with others. So that's what we'll celebrate today throughout the worship. Now, maybe you noticed, but we're rolling out today some new connection cards that you are handed. Just a few notes on those in case you're wondering how to fill them out. Members, feel free just to put your name up there, and on the back you can put your first names. On Communion Sundays, you can see yes or no of who's communion and who's not. Visitors, if you'd like to share some contact information with us, all of that is right there for you as well. Just follow along. If you have any more questions about that, you can see one of us after the service, but God be praised for that opportunity. Well, let us begin our worship of God's grace this morning with hymn 505. God bless your worship. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways, I have sinned against You and do not deserve to be called Your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to Your unfailing love. cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen.
We sing. Pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, preserve the congregation of believers with your never-failing mercy. Help us avoid whatever is wicked and harmful, and guide us in the way that leads to our salvation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Today on this Friendship Sunday, as we talk about the love that we have and that we get to show, we get some wisdom as well here in our first lesson from Proverbs chapter 25, because we see that when we are humble, well, there's a lot of wisdom there. From Proverbs 25, "Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among his great men. It is better for him to say to you, 'Come up here,' and for him to humiliate you before his nobles." The word of the Lord. We now join together in a hymn that reflects God's command for us to be humble, and we get to lovingly do that. O Lord, that the Lord would guide my ways. Number 462.
Thank you.
The second lesson this morning comes from James chapter 2, where James reminds us that as the Lord's people, not only do we show humility, but as we do, we actually have a proper view of mercy with others. From James 2. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. The word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the words and works of Jesus. The gospel for this morning comes from Luke chapter 14, and this will also serve as the sermon text for today. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers and sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord
Christ. We'll now confess our faith publicly together in that gospel according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and if there are any children in the congregation who would like to come up for a children's message, meet me up here at the front step. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Let's try that again. How's everybody doing this morning? That's better. All right. Can I get a couple of volunteers? I'm going to need 3 volunteers. Eden, your hand went up first. Wyatt. Adam, come on up. You guys ever been, have you ever watched the Olympics?
No.
Never watched any sports. All right, well, if you didn't know this, at the Olympics, when you, hi, welcome. I don't know how I follow that up. Well, if you watch the Olympics, what you notice is, you know they hand out medals? You know what medals they hand out? So you do know this, Wyatt. Oh, okay, all right. Third place gets what medal? You don't like yucky food? Yeah, I don't. You never know what's going to happen. At the Olympics, they hand out 3 medals. Gold, silver, and bronze. And do you know when they are given those medals, do you know where they go stand?
A box.
Yeah, kind of like on a box, right? It's kind of like a platform. And that's right, 1 and 2 and 3. And where's the 1? 1 is high, 1 is kind of lower, and then the other one's lower. Wyatt, come on up here. So they were tandem in this gold medal. All right. Adam, come on up here. Up all the way up to the top, and Eden, come right down here, okay? Nope, right down here, this side. So, you notice when you guys are on 3 different levels, right? You've got the gold, you've got the silver, and you got the bronze. Now that happens at the Olympics. Did you know that you and I, we can kind of do this in our relationships too? Adam and Wyatt, come on down to the bottom step. So say, for example, Wyatt does something really good and really awesome. So then Wyatt is highly honored. Go ahead and go up 1 step. 1 step. All right. So now Wyatt is viewed, wow, he did such a good thing. That's awesome. But sometimes you and I, instead of being happy for Wyatt, maybe Adam thinks, well, I can do that too. And so Adam goes up a step. In fact, maybe Adam even goes and thinks to Wyatt, well, Wyatt, you're not that great. I'm better than you. And so in his heart, Adam goes up another step. Meanwhile, Eden thinks to herself, well, I can do better than both of them, and I'm a better person, you know, with these things, and I'm a better athlete, or I'm smarter, or whatever it is. And she goes all the way up past Adam. All the way up. Yeah, right up there. You know, the thing is, though, you and I, as we do these things and as we try to go up higher, God actually isn't happy with that. God doesn't want us to do that. And so when we do that, we're actually pushing ourselves further and further away from God and lower. So you know what Jesus had to do? Jesus had to come and do the opposite for us. What's your name?
Phoebe.
Phoebe, come on down here.
Okay.
You're going to be Jesus for us. You've got so much energy for us. Now when Jesus came, he came from way up high in heaven, so much glory and honor. But what did he do? He came down and further. He lived a perfect life for us after becoming a person. All the way down to where did he die?
On the cross where they crucified the worst criminals.
The worst criminals were crucified. That's where Jesus was crucified. So what did Jesus do? He didn't try to go up, up, up. He actually went down, down, down. He eventually went up there. Down, down, down. So try to get lower, Phoebe. Do you think Jesus went that low?
Yeah.
I think he went lower. Get even lower.
Yeah, and he went up. And I got my spinny.
You got your spinny. That's good. Can you lay down on your belly? You think Jesus went that low? Keep going. All the way down. Yeah. Jesus went so far down when he died on the cross. But why did he do that? So that you and I didn't have to go that far down. Instead, we get to go
up to heaven.
Jesus, God be praised, he has given us honor through his death on the cross. So now what do we get to do? Eden, instead of trying to make yourself higher than Adam, what do you get to do? Leah, come on down. So now you get to serve Adam and be like, Adam, I want to do this for you. Now Adam sees that and he's just like, hey, wait, I want to help out too. What do you get to do? Yeah, get lower, just like Jesus did. Why, what about you? Yeah, even lower, just keep serving. And so everybody get low. Everybody get really low. Just like Jesus. We get to humble ourselves just like that. Well done, everybody. This is what we get. Now let's ask God for some help as we do that, because it's not easy to do that in this life. So let's say a prayer. Fold your hands, bow your heads. Lord God, thank you for the opportunities that we get to be humble servants like you. Lord, forgive us for the times when we're not. But Lord, thank you for dying for our sins, so now that we can reflect the same love you've given us, so that others can see that too. Bless us as we do this, Lord. We ask everything in your name. Amen. All right, you guys can go back to your seats. Thank you very much for your help. Thank you for your energy, Phoebe. Let us continue with hymn number 524, the hymn of the day, 524. God's grace and mercy are yours, brothers and sisters, from God our Father, through Jesus our Savior. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 14, if you'd like to follow along in your bulletins. Let us begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your generosity. Amen. When you travel on a subway in a large city, sometimes you see a picture like this hanging up on the wall, especially in Asia, as you can see. It's a sign that reminds you to give priority seating to those who need it. So you can see the elderly, those who are injured, maybe those who have heart issues, people with small children, and pregnant women. It's good to have a reminder like that to be on the lookout for people that you can give up your seat to. On the other hand, don't you think it's kind of funny that we need a sign like this? It's interesting that we need to be reminded to give others priority seating. But that's because you and I have a condition in our hearts caused by sin. We might call this condition exaltation syndrome. We also have another syndrome that's very similar. It goes hand in hand. Self-centeredness syndrome. Now, you can't go to Kaiser or Sutter or Mercy Health Systems and get these checked out. But the Doctor of Souls does provide treatment for you here in Luke chapter 14. He's going to teach the Pharisees and us to take the lowest place before God and before others as well. As Jesus was traveling and teaching throughout a region called Perea, the Pharisees were already getting fed up with him, and they were trying to look for ways to trap him. So no surprise when he's invited to a house. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. Now, this type of banquet or meal had its proper manners and customs, like so many meals do. Here's a picture of what it might have looked like back in that day. This one is a banquet of all women, but you can see there's three couches that are put together in kind of the shape of a U. And there's usually three seats per couch. You can see there's a low table on the inside, and then that provides the opportunity for servants also to go in and replenish and give food and serve. Now, not every seat on those couches was considered equal. There was actually this hierarchy of honor wherever you sat. So, for example, in the culture and customs of ancient Jews, we're told that the middle seat was usually the one that was most distinguished. So if you look at the middle table and the middle seat, that one would be the guest that had the highest honor. And then the next highest guest would be to their left. And then the next highest guest would be to the most prominent one's right. And it would keep going all the way through all the couches. And even different couches had different honor, and so there was this defined hierarchy of honor when you went to a meal or a banquet. Now, what Jesus noticed is that as these people were reclining in the Pharisees' house, that the Pharisees scurried to the highest places of honor. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. Jesus uses a wedding feast to exaggerate. Because so think, even more guests and more couches, so a higher hierarchy of everything that's going on. And you, if you come, you take the place of honor. But someone more highly honored than you comes, and the guest or the host has to tell you to go down all the way to the lowest place in front of everyone. How embarrassing. You'd have to walk all the way down to that lowest place in shame. Instead, Jesus says, when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. Jesus basically references what we saw in the first lesson in Proverbs 25. There's a lot of wisdom when it comes in being humble. It gives the opportunity for you to be honored when the host of the wedding feast comes. But Jesus wasn't giving a lesson on table manners, nor was he trying to instill the desire to be honored. He was trying to reveal a bigger issue going on in the Pharisees' hearts, which is why next he gives one of his great leveling statements. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The Pharisees were struggling with what we all struggle with, that exaltation syndrome. And they were especially struggling with this before God. Who's the one that's going to be doing the humbling and exalting of everyone? God Almighty. And yet these Pharisees thought that in front of an all-powerful, holy, just God, that they could not only sit in his presence, but stand with their heads held high and think, wow, God must just celebrate all of the righteous things that I do. In front of everyone, God is going to exalt me to the place of honor. What about you? Do you in your heart scurry to the place of highest honor before your Lord Almighty? Lord, look at all of these amazing things I do for you and for the church. Look at all of these good things that I do that show just how awesome I am. Lord, I keep myself from sin way more than those other people. Sure, I sin, but I'm not like those terrible sinners. Lord, look how much I give of my time and money to church, more than the other members. Lord, take a look even at all of those awesome things I do in my family. Lord, I keep myself from false doctrine far more than my relatives and friends. I even hold my head up high and proudly declare I'm a Lutheran. Far better of all the denominations in your eyes, right, Lord? Far more special. All of these things are good things, but you and I can wear them like badges that where we deserve honor because of them. It's like we're telling ourselves before God, Lord, exalt me as the example of all examples before everyone else. When we do that, we're showing that we're really struggling with that syndrome. We're showing that we forget what we really are before God. You and I are nothing without him. We are enemies, rebels, dirt, dust. Which is why the Doctor of Souls gives us that great leveling statement. All those who exalt themselves will be humbled. If you exalt yourself before God, you will be brought low. When is he going to do that? The day you die and the last day. If you think that you can stand before God Almighty and exalt yourself, well, then you will be sorely ashamed in front of everyone when you are told to take the place of least honor. But notice also in this great leveling statement is also a gracious promise. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. If you recognize what you are, your sinfulness, your lack of righteousness before God, if you take the lowest place, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, then you will be exalted. It's not because you recognize that or said that in your heart. It's simply because of the Lord's mercy. It's because of the humiliation and exaltation of our humble Savior. What place do you think that is? Highest or lowest? Sure, they raised him up on that cross, but so they did that with all the other worst of criminals. This was the lowest place. And that's just culturally speaking. It doesn't even mention yet what he was suffering on there. He was suffering the depth of hell for us, for all of our sins. This was the lowest, lowest, lowest of the low. That was our place of dishonor. That seat had our names on it. But Jesus took our seat. And because he did that, thanks to him, now you and I are pushed up to a higher place. When God raised Jesus up to back to life, he exalted him back to his proper place above everything. And when he did that, he also brought us up with him. And now God says, friend, come move up to a better place. That's God's promise through Christ. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. What did we do to deserve that? Nothing. That's simply God's grace. And God did it simply because of his humble love for you and me. Remembering that Jesus did that is the humility treatment to our exaltation syndrome. And not just before God, but also before others. And it also helps us treat that other syndrome that goes hand in hand, our self-centeredness syndrome. These two things go hand in hand to the point where if you are exalting yourself in your relationships, you're basically being self-serving in those relationships. It can get in the way of us providing pure, humble service for the sake of service. Sometimes it can prevent us from giving any service at all. We think, I don't want to take the trash out. I had a long day, and my long day has more weight than my spouse's, so I'll just let them do it. Or if we do acts of service, it can mingle in with that selfish motive. We can think, hey, if I scratch their back, they'll have to scratch mine. Or, hey, if I do this, and other people will see it, and they'll think highly of me. Or even, it might get to the point where we're like, well, just do it to get somebody off my back. You see how it gets in the way of us providing pure, humble service? Those two syndromes work together. Which is why Jesus says to his host next, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not keep inviting your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The Pharisees in that day would invite other prominent Pharisees so that it would secure an invitation for their banquet whenever they held one. And so you kind of had this exclusive group going. Instead, Jesus says, humble yourself. Take the lowest place. Don't invite people who can repay you. That gives the opportunity for that self-centeredness syndrome to rear its ugly head. Instead, get rid of the possibility. Invite those who can't repay you. Now, you and I, while we struggle with these same things that the Pharisees do, we are not like them in one way. You and I have been given also a new heart through faith. Yes, we have these syndromes that we struggle with, but we also have a new life in Christ. And that new life wants to provide pure, humble service. It wants to take the lowest place. And God gives us so many opportunities to take the lowest place. That sinful syndrome side of us views these as burdens, but that new life in Christ side of us delights in them, just like God delighted in providing service to us. Holding the door open for somebody, washing the dishes, cleaning the house, cleaning the church, serving on a board or committee at church, doing an assignment at work, driving to help your friend who has a flat tire on the side of the road, letting someone change lanes in front of you on the road, letting someone go in front of you at the checkout line, even though they have five times as many things in your cart as you do. Or even just listening to someone who needs it. God gives us so many opportunities to reflect the same love that he has given to us. And God be praised, he's given us a new heart that delights to do that. But our God really shows his generosity in what he had said there. Did you notice that there's a couple of other promises attached to when we do these things? When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Being blessed is enough for us. And yet God says, no, I want to give you more. When we do these things, he promises to reward us on the last day. For what? Doing things that he wants us to do anyway? Things that he puts in our path? Things that he empowers us to do? That is just grace on top of grace. But that's the generosity of our God. Did you know that when you do good things, you're actually giving God more opportunity to be generous to you? Now, that's a pure heart. And that's the same love that you and I get to show to our friends, to our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, everyone around us. So when in your heart you're tempted to take that priority seating, you remember what the doctor of souls has prescribed. All those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. God be praised that whether it's in the presence of him or of anyone else, you and I know that we can take the lowest place, just like our Savior did for us. Amen. Please stand. May that grace of God guard your hearts and minds through faith in our humble Savior. Amen. We now join together in a song on page 8. Seated as we humbly give our thank offering to our Lord. Now join together in the responsive prayer of friendship on this Friendship Sunday. Please stand for prayer. We pray. Dear Savior, we are so thankful for the life you have given us. Each day we awake to the light of day, food on our tables, clothes in our closets, and love from family and friends. Impress upon our hearts the need for having you in our lives.
Strengthen our relationship with you through hearing and applying your word.
Send the Holy Spirit into our hearts so that we may grow in the knowledge of your grace and faith in you as our God and Savior.
Give us the inner peace that only you, dear Savior, can give. Always remind us of your death on the cross and the eternal life you were for us.
Drive all doubt from our hearts. Reassure us with the truth that you are always with us.
Also, dear Lord, help us strengthen our personal relationships with our friends and family.
We realize that friends and relatives are indeed a great blessing from you. That is why we want to love those close to us just as you loved us. Therefore, we ask you, O Savior. Lord, we thank you on behalf of those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. Continue to shower them with your blessings and give them many more years to serve you. We also thank you for your care over Jack Fox's mother, Pam Drennan, Carrie Schwieger, Barbara Carpenter, Fred Biederbeck, and Dan Johnson. Guide them and their doctors, bless their recoveries and health, comfort them with the hope of the resurrection, and sustain them with the knowledge that you will never leave them nor forsake them. We ask all this in your name, Jesus, since you are the sinner's best friend.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated with another song that celebrates God's love at work in our hearts, number 491. Please stand for prayer and the blessing. In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer.
Lord,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let us praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, Love in Christ is Strong and Living, number 490. Good morning again. It's a pleasure worshiping our God and our loving friendship that we have in Him. Big welcome to all of our visitors this morning. If you get a chance, please check out our Welcome Center. There's lots of free gifts there for you, so go check that out. Also, stick around for Bible study and Sunday school so that we have in the sanctuary here, it's Come Lord Jesus. In the Luther Room, we'll continue with New Life in Christ Bible Information class. And then, of course, in the Teen Room, there's the teens and the Sunday School for the kids as well. A big thank you to everyone who helped out yesterday at the cook-off. It was a lot of fun. We had over 200 people was the estimate and a whole ton of visitors. I think the thing that really warmed my heart the most was to see how our members were just talking with everyone. You know, all the visitors and everything had so many people talking. It was just a great thing to see. So thank you for coming, and thank you for showing the love of Christ. A big day for us here today at St. Mark's and in all those in our fellowship. We are going to have the installation of Pastor Kalpeen this evening at 4 p.m. right here at St. Mark's. So please come and celebrate that full submission that we've started. Also, there's going to be a potluck after that. So bring a dish to pass if you'd like. That'll be in the fellowship hall about 5 o'clock after that. So this evening, big evening. Bible information class will also continue this evening. Yes, you will have to miss a little bit of the potluck because it is at 5 o'clock. I apologize for that. So maybe try to sneak something on your way over. See what we can do. A few other announcements for you. St. Mark's is hosting the LWMS rally here on October 19th. There's a sign-up sheet in the back of the lobby. There's more information in the weekly news about that as well. Also, we've got a big 50th anniversary gala. Is it gala or gala? I never know that one. Anybody know? Either one's fine. All right. I'll go with gala today. So St. Mark's 50th anniversary gala coming up in November, November 9th. So save that date. We're going to have a big thing with dinner and an auction. It's going to be a lot of fun. So mark your calendars for that. Also, there's a note in the weekly news about the Wells Women's Retreat that's coming up in January. The information is there for you in the weekly news. Other stuff in the weekly news as well. May God continue to bless you and all of your friendships as you continue to show his humble love. Please stick around to greet one another.